In today's Gospel, the deacon chanted, "Scitis quid fecerem vobis," our Lord's words. Do you know what I have done for you? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My reverend fathers and lords, Lord Chicada, Lord McGuire, Lord McKenna, I'll explain that one in a moment, and my dear faithful and dear children. The weather is quite liturgical today. First of all, it was dark and stormy, betrayal, death. And then, as though heaven wanted to send a text that it was so pleased with this beautiful Mass this morning, after the Gloria, the sun came out, and it shines still, catching the rays of the incense. Today is the most joyful and the saddest of the days of the church year. This Holy Thursday, we greet the birth of the priesthood and of the Mass, the Blessed Sacrament, with the ringing of bells. We pray for our priests this first Thursday, and you see all of us in white and in gold, and the flowers on the altar, and you hear the organ at the beginning and then the bells. But then you hear them no more until Holy Saturday. Today is the saddest of days. The purple is already peeking out from under the white. The clouds are indeed gathering once again with that darkness. Even as we heard the thunder this morning, already the betrayer, and just after he was made a bishop, the betrayer, Judas, has done his deed and is just waiting for his time. And the agony garden, the traitor's kiss, the bloody sweat, they must all be accomplished before this sad Holy Thursday is done. But most days in the life of a Christian, of the church, and of the priest are not nearly so dramatic, of course. But still they can be demanding. I think one of the most challenging things, aside from conducting wedding rehearsals, in the life of a priest is to be called upon by someone to have a little talk with somebody else. Generally, it's a family member, but it could be somebody from the church precincts. That's demanding because the priest has to figure out how to broach the topic diplomatically without offending gratuitously, and have a word or two, but with the goal of bringing someone round. After all, that's expected of you. That's not always an easy thing. I want to tell you about how a priest once got the little talk rather than gave it. And the one who was summoned by the people to do this job was a deacon. He was none other than St. Francis of Assisi. His first biographer, Thomas of Celano, tells us that concerned parishioners brought St. Francis to see their parish priest because he was living in sin, and they wanted the saint to reprimand him and to condemn his sinful ways of life. Instead, St. Francis knelt, and he took the priest's hands in his own, and he said, "I know not whether this priest is sinful. I only know that these hands and these hands alone make present upon the altar my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." St. Francis's immense respect for the holy priesthood was based upon his faith. The power of the priest to change bread and wine into the body and the blood of Christ, that Christ, St. Francis says, in whom all things in heaven are made peaceful and are reconciled to God the Almighty. What a different way we have today for viewing the priesthood. I need not go into details. But in the old days, you know, it wasn't so. We must be Catholics, St. Francis writes, one of the summaries he felt called upon to do before he died. We must be Catholics. What does that mean? We must visit churches frequently, and we must venerate clerics and revere them, not so much for their own sake, for they may be sinners, but on account of their office and administration of the most holy body and blood of Christ, which they sacrifice on the altar and receive and administer to others. The subordination of the Catholic to the Church only makes sense because Christ has chosen to use its clergy, sinners as they are, to make his own subordination. You hear two words in that one, don't you? The prefix under, subordination. Under an ordination is humility and obedience. The humility of God and the obedience of God, it must be matched by that of man. And by this means, our Lord pours himself out as he poured the water into that pitcher for the washing of the feet in today's gospel. He pours himself out and presents himself to the Father in each sacrifice of the Mass. To participate worthily in this is what St. Francis means by loving God above all things. You know by now, most of you, by heart, I think, that indulgenced prayer, the long prayer that we say at stations, we adore thee, most holy Lord Jesus Christ, here and in all thy churches that are in the whole world, and we bless thee, because by thy holy cross thou hast redeemed the world. Do you know why St. Francis wrote that prayer? I do this, he says, because in this world I see nothing corporally of the Most High God except his most holy body and most holy blood, which they receive, in which they alone, priests, minister to others. And these most holy mysteries I want above all things to honor and to have venerated and to be placed in precious places. The body that died on the cross for our salvation becomes present every day on the altar, and this visible presence of the invisible God is what hallows the church, whether it be the crumbling church of San Damiano, the first one, or whether it be this church that we built out here in the Cincinnati suburbs some 12 years ago. St. Francis loved to return to this idea of the Blessed Sacrament. And you know, he talked about it far more than ever he did about poverty. Poverty it was that people noticed. It caught the imagination of medieval man and modern man alike. But Christ's real presence in the sacred host is the real poverty which entranced Francis, and that it is that makes the church, poor or rich as it may be, a sacred spot. And this it is, too, which gives you a multitude of spiritual fathers. How beautiful it is that we call the priest father. For St. Francis, it was the replacement for his own father, who had rejected him, Pietro Bernardone. For us, it makes us to be very well-loved children of the Eternal Father. And thus he writes, "The Lord gave me and gives me still such faith in those priests who live according to the rite of the Holy Roman Church because of their orders that were they to persecute me, I would still want to have recourse to them. And I do not want to consider any sin in them, because I discern the Son of God in them, and they are my lords." My lords, he says. Think of that. Still, St. Francis had something very humbly to say to his lords. Humbly beg the clergy, he told superiors, to revere above all else the most holy body and blood of our Lord. To remind people, the priest must, in every sermon about penance, and that no one can be saved unless he receives the most holy body and blood of the Lord. And when it is sacrificed on the altar by priests, and when the blessed sacrament is carried anywhere, let all people praise and glorify and honor on bended knee the Lord God, living and true. Remember, it was St. Francis who introduced the genuflection. This was a lay practice, kneeling down, bending the knee in adoration. The clergy had kept until then the old practice from the very early church of the bow, the profound bow. But it was St. Francis who could not be satisfied at that until he saw that every knee in heaven and on earth and under the earth should bow before the true body of the Son of God. And yet, there's a yet, St. Francis, who so venerated a priest that he would say nothing against him, but only kneel down and kiss his hand, prescribed prison for priests. Not the run-of-the-mill bad priests, but any priest who should be suspect of heresy, any priest who would change the sacred liturgy, any priest, he said, who simply should not be Catholic anymore. What do you think St. Francis would do with this Francis in Rome? He should tremble at the thought. You see, for St. Francis, his great care was for the Corpus Domini, the body of the Lord, and every aspect of sacred worship had to be kept inviolate. This is for St. Francis. This is for us. The faith, you see, is not just ideas. It's certainly not just feelings, nor is it even, for that matter, just condemnations. But the faith is about things and about deeds because of the incarnation, because God became man and comes down to this altar daily. The church, the altar, the crucifix, the sacred words, the priesthood, the blessed sacrament, these contain God. These give us God. And the great commandment to love the Lord our God above all things and to love your neighbor as yourself is identical with that love which is, especially today, especially these 3 days, poured out in prayer of adoration before God. St. Francis insists, and we'll try our best to carry it out, that this adoration should be day and night. This is how we all become adorers in spirit and in truth. This is how we live the love that our Lord laid upon us as the greatest imperative. Do you know what I have done for you? This is how we fulfill the new commandment he has given us. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.